days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Hello, Commander. Computer reporting.
This is Retro Asylum, episode 46. I'm Foggy, and joining me is Simon LCFC.
Gaming wise, I've been playing a hell of a lot of Game Boy Advance stuff.
Did you buy one?
I did. I briefly had one, and then I realised that the PSP Go that I've got actually emulates the Game Boy Advance. It actually, believe it or not, it plays the Game Boy Advance stuff better than it looks on a Game Boy Advance. Because the screen definition, it's slightly bigger, it's clearer, plays it brilliantly.
So that's, what have you been playing though? What games have you been playing?
Well, I've nearly finished Metroid Fusion, I've just started Yoshi's Island. No, that's about it really. I'm going to start on Mother 3 as well, which is an obscure Japanese RPG series, but there's an English fan translation that's been released recently.
You love your Japanese stuff, don't you?
I'm a bit of a fan, yeah. I've just acquired Final Fantasy VII on the PC as well. They've just released that on Steam. There's a lot of good stuff released on Steam now.
I know. I've not gone mental on Steam. PlayStation Plus account.
Ah, yeah.
And started downloading a few games for that. So I've downloaded the Shadow of the Colossus and the ICO double pack, because I never ever played them back in the day, so
really. No, I never did. They are supposed to be absolutely brilliant.
They're beautiful looking games, but I've not really sat down for a proper amount of time. I just like messed around with them, but they really do look good, especially for PS2 stuff.
Yeah.
And quite really atmospheric in that, you know. But there was that. What else did I download? Saints Row. Because it was there and it was free and I just tried it, you know. It's Grand Theft Auto like, isn't it, I suppose?
Well, which one did you get? Was it the first one?
No, the third.
Oh, the third one. Mm. Yeah, I picked that up again. Steam, massive sale, so I think I paid about £12 for that, and it was everything.
Is it any good, really? Because I've just like messed around with it. You can design a character at the start and all that.
I'm not a fan of the GTA titles. Vice City I thought was brilliant, but somebody recommended Saints Row 3 and said it's like GTA, but it's got more of a sense of humour. And I played when I first got it, I spent hours playing Saints Row 3. I thought it was brilliant because it's just so funny.
I'll have to get into that because it's sitting there and I haven't really touched it yet. But Vice City I downloaded as well because that was around. Just because of the soundtrack, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great setting for a game. Yeah, the 80s, so...
What else? The Cave. That
Ron Gilbert.
Ron Gilbert.
Ron Gilbert.
Yeah, he did a game called The Cave, which I think Andy had tickets to the launch party for that. But I don't know if he went or not. But anyways, yeah, that is fantastic. Really good. And you get it free with PlayStation Plus as well. So.
Oh, nice.
Definitely worth looking at that. If you like Monkey Island, if you like point and click stuff, it's that sort of genre, you know.
Well, I did pick up the Monkey Island, the two Monkey Island games on Steam a while back. I've got about 80 games on there, and I'd say probably about 40, 50 of them are either retro remakes or retro style games.
My son downloaded the Cave because he's downloaded the upgraded Monkey Island 1 and 2.
Yeah,
with the really nice graphics and stuff.
Yeah,
and he's ploughed through all them, and also The Last of Us as well. He went out and bought. He's turned into a bit of a zombie fan as well now.
Oh, right.
That's pretty good. Really, really looks good. But
I've heard a lot of good things about it. So I do keep getting sort of told about it and asked about it. And but no, I've never seen it.
It sort of looks like it's obviously post sort of apocalyptic zombie. Like I can kind of equate it to the film The Road. Have you seen the film The Road?
I haven't. No, no.
It's the most depressing film in the world. Yeah, I won't spoil it for you. But it's that sort of thing. It's just like you're wandering around. There's like cannibals around, and you know everyone, and zombies, and you know it's a bit sort of lawless and really, really good game.
Sounds like a Ruggiero Deodato movie.
A what movie?
A Ruggero Deodato.
No, I don't like Italian food, thank you.
No. he did a notorious film called Cannibal Holocaust. Oh, I know you're a bit au fait with the video nasties and things like that in the 80s, so...
Well, I just remember Driller Killer and Evil Dead and all that when it came out.
It was very much of that ilk, so...
Oh, right. Oh, maybe I'll check it out. Is it on YouTube or something?
Highly unlikely.
Oh, really?
I think it's still banned in this country, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, there's still a few out there that they won't release.
Do you think it's unban it, or is it like really that bad?
No, it's really that bad.
I think you just sold that film to everyone listening, because everyone's going to check it out now and find out what...
My partner, she absolutely loves her horror films, and she could sit there and watch all these Saw films, all that rubbish, and, you know. And we sat there and watched Cannibal Holocaust. We managed to acquire an uncut version of it. Mm-hmm. And she told me to delete it, get rid of it, throw it away. She never wants to see it again. So...
Bloody hell.
That's a good indication of how nasty it really is.
Bloody hell, I'm not sure I want to watch it now. If a horror fan doesn't like it, I mean, there's got to be... I mean, what happens in it? Is this like real... Anyway, we've got a bit off the point here.
I think we are, yeah.
Talking about... Just because I mentioned The Last of Us, we've gone on to talking about some twisted zombie film. But anyway,
yeah.
What else did I download off there? I think that was it for the time being. I really want to try and get into ICO and... Shadow of the Colossus, because they're just sitting there. But as usual, I've downloaded all this stuff and I haven't got time to play it, really.
Same as. Like I say, when I go and sort of try and play these things, unfortunately the PC starts beeping and saying too hot, and you know.
I'll tell you what I have been playing a lot of. I bought a modded Xbox off eBay.
Yeah.
Just to get a few emulators on so I can play them on big telly, you know. So, I bought this Xbox with Vision front end.
Yes, yeah.
Which is pretty good. So it's got MAME on it, obviously, and it's got a Spectrum emulator and a C64 emulator with pretty much every game ever made for them on it. And it's got Nintendo 64, Super Nintendo, NES, some PlayStation 1 games on it, Xbox games on it, Halo 1 and 2. It's got some horror games on it. Silent Hill and all this sort of thing.
Brilliant.
It's got Neo Geo stuff on it. It's got Game Boy Advance on it. Loads of ROMs for that as well. You can play Sega Mega Drive. I mean, it just goes on and on. The only two things I probably wanted that's not on there is an Amiga emulator and maybe Daphne, so I can play like Dragon's Lair and things. But
Oh yeah.
It's like pretty chock-a-block and really, really good. So I'm straight on MAME and playing Mr. Do and all the rest of it. Yeah.
I figure that might be the first game that you'd aim for, actually.
Well, it's just, so. I'll tell you what, Mr. Do is getting a bit sort of, not boring, but it's just like, you know, I can just like plow through it now. And
It is a classic, though. It's one of those. I mean, I'm the same with Dig Dug and Bubble Bobble. You always have to go back to them at some point.
Oh, they're still really playable, but and then there's like Defender and Robotron, all these, you know.
Yeah.
Robotron's brilliant on that because you've got your two thumb joysticks sort of thing. Really work well with, you know, movement and shooting at the same time sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've put this and then it's got Xbox Media Center on there, you know? So
yeah.
I've clicked on it and it's come up with, it's got Justin TV and I thought, oh, that's good. I wonder if it picks up wireless, and obviously it doesn't. But I noticed there was an Ethernet cable in the back, so I stuck my modem in the back of it, my router in the back of it. My God, it's got tons of stuff on it. I didn't realise. It's got BBC iPlayer on it, so I was doing that, ITV player, movie channels, Justin TV with all the movies. I thought, why didn't anyone tell me this before?
The funny thing is, I mean, I've got an Xbox. I've got an original Xbox. I mean, all I use it for, I've got... the emulators, so I've, you know, MAME's on there, and obviously the Game Boy Advance, Spectrum, Commodore, all that stuff. But I only ever really use it for streaming.
Right.
So I can get the, you know, stream all the stuff that's on the PC. I can even stream DVDs over and just stream it onto the TV upstairs, and it works absolutely faultlessly. But I wasn't even aware that they had things like BBC iPlayer and stuff like that on it. So
if you can plug it into a router, which you you know, if your router is anywhere near your where your Xbox set up, plug it in. You can download plug them. When I plugged this Ethernet cable in, first of all, it was had loads of radio stations, and I thought, this probably won't work, but it was worth a try. And then this radio station, I thought, oh, brilliant. You know, I can get, like, it's like an internet radio. Brilliant. And then I saw, like, a Justin TV channel, so I put that on. And I watched some of The Simpsons and all this, and I thought, this is fantastic, it's getting better. Then I found, like, a bit on it where you could download more stuff, and I downloaded a movie channel, and it's got, like, you know, pretty much the latest, got Iron Man 3 on it and things, you know, pretty much the latest film. Like the Roku box I've got.
Yeah.
But without, it's sort of a Roku box sort of built into it, if you like. It just goes onto the internet and uses all these websites that have got these films sort of stored on them, and you can access them, you know?
Yeah.
So not only is it got all my favourite games on it, from all my favourite retro games on it, it's sort of the hub of the downstairs. We've got our garage converted to a sort of dining room stroke. There's a teddy in there and an Xbox room as well. And that's brilliant as well, because there's all the telly on it. I mean, my wife's addicted to Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares and all that. They're all on there. And do you know what I mean? It's just like a great family entertainment centre, all in that little Xbox that I bought for £64. And the best £64 I've ever spent.
So, oh, brilliant. I mean, console-wise, they're still absolutely fantastic. I mean, even the games, even if you just look at the games on it, they still hold up quite well today.
No, I'm not even talking about Xbox games. I'm talking about it emulates games perfectly. All the main stuff, brilliant, you know. And you've got loads of TV channels built into it, basically, you know. And I recommend everyone get one. It's just excellent. I worked out how to get all my Commodore 64 games, because I've got a disc, a DVD with all the ROMs on.
Yeah.
I put them in the DVD tray, and it comes up with, you know, as a, you know, you can access the file. So I've just copied them all over, you know.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. And the Spectrum emulator is brilliant. It's got everything on it. You can get obviously a virtual keyboard on there, so you can sort of basically type stuff when you need to. I mean, it's not very good, but you know. But yeah.
Well, that's the same with a lot of them, to be honest with you. I mean, and unless you're using a real Spectrum, a Spectrum on a PC, Android. Have you ever tried Marvin on an Android device?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Well, it's a Spectrum emulator, mm-hmm. But it is absolutely brilliant. I've got it on my Android tablet, and it works absolutely brilliantly. The keyboard's nice and big. It's absolutely the perfect size. It's responsive, so you can actually sit there. You can, you know, play stuff like The Hobbit and Rig of Revenge and Heroes of Khan and stuff like that on the move. So it's about the only portable device I've ever seen that actually has a good keyboard, apart from the DS.
Yeah, the DS is brilliant for emulation, especially Spectrum and that. I was on the forums looking around and just checking out some of the posts. Okay, now I noticed Mr. Sid. He's got the avatar of Guybrush Threepwood, hasn't he? Have you noticed? Yes, he has. Right, okay, and he bangs on about he loves his Monkey Island. And it's no secret that Mr. Swain likes a bit of Double Dragon. He obviously loves his Double Dragon, although he never mentions it. Just like Matt Denaris doesn't mention ever that he likes a bit of music.
Yeah.
And Andy likes Dizzy, allegedly. He said on more than one occasion he likes Dizzy. So I thought, let's have a claim up. Let's have a database of forum users, and they can pick a hero or a character that they want to be associated with only in this forum. And once someone's picked it, no one else can pick it. So, for instance, if you picked Technician Ted, Simon, which I know you like, yeah?
That's eerie. How did you know that I would pick Technician Ted?
This is like the most obvious thing in the world. Because you've been banging on about it ever since I've known you. Right? So you pick Technician Ted, okay?
Yeah.
That means no one else on the forum can have Technician Ted as their game hero.
Works for me.
So, obviously, you've picked it. So you can claim that now.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure about that? Because once you've got it, you can't change it.
Nope. That works for me.
Right. You've got Technician Ted. So anyone on the forum now, from now on, who mentions or wants to know anything about Technician Ted, you go to Simon and you say, well, the representative of Technician Ted on Retro Asylum is Simon LCFC. You go to him, okay? And I thought, well, if everyone does that, we could get a little database of characters you're associated with, and you can claim a hero, a villain, a boss, a vehicle, a supporting...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we should start that off, and if we can get someone who's good at admin on the forum to get a thread started up with all the forum users and the characters or genres or whatever we're going to pick, what they're going to claim.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Probably haven't explained it that well, but hopefully you get the gist.
No, it's a perfectly sound idea, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it's how far would you stretch it? I mean,
this is the beauty of it. It's limitless, almost. So, if I say to start off with, to get everyone into it, let's say 8-bit characters. So we're going to have an 8-bit hero, an 8-bit villain, an 8-bit boss, an 8-bit supporting character, i.e., a person that's in a game but not a hero, villain, or boss.
Yeah.
And an 8-bit vehicle, like a spaceship, a car, a tank, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
And we get these five things, and everyone can claim what they want, but once it's gone, and you can't claim the thing that someone else has picked, and it's going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. So I'll say where to claim it from now. If you email me, Foggy, F-O-G-G-Y, at retroasylum.com. Just use that address. Don't post it on the forums, because I'm going to come back and announce who's got what on a later podcast.
Okay, right, I will add something.
Go on, then.
I noticed you've mentioned 8-bit, but obviously a lot of people on the forums, fans of machines like the Amiga, the Atari ST, Mega Drive, the Super Nintendo... Do you think you should add 16-bit to that as well? So you have an 8-bit selection.
Let me stop you there, doubting Simon. Okay, because once we've got the 8-bit stuff out of the way, we will move on to 16-bit. And then we will move on to arcade. And then we'll move on to genres, like what shoot-em-up are you going to represent? What adventure game are you going to represent? What platform game? Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
And only forum members get the privilege of choosing those. And it's first come, first serve. So... whoever emails me first, so let's say 8-bit heroes, if you want, well, you could pick Mario, couldn't you? You could pick Minor Willy, you could pick...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So say someone wants Manic Miner, whoever gets in there first gets Manic Miner, and no one else can have it. And some people are going to be disappointed because they wanted Manic Miner. Or the Last Ninja you could have, couldn't you?
That's true, yeah.
Bruce Lee, you could have Dizzy, of course, you could have Manic Miner, you could have Hen House Harry... You could have Jetman, Saberman, Eric off of School Days.
Back to School and School Days, yep.
Exactly. Horace. You could have...
Why would anybody want Horace?
No. But
it was a potato with holes in it.
Yeah, I think Guru Larry, he said it looked like an arse on legs, which is a pretty good description, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, you could have him, and why not? You could have Zach McCracken, if you're quick. You could have Jumpman. I mean, there's tons of stuff you could have for a hero. For a villain, you could have, let's see, the duck in Chucky Egg.
Well, the dog from Chucky Egg 2. I know a lot of people don't rate that game, but I think Chucky Egg 2 is brilliant.
Well, maybe you could pick that, mate. I'll tell you what, a bit of kudos should go to people who pick... the obvious stuff, if you pick Mario for your hero, I mean, it's a bit boring, isn't it? I mean... Even Manic Miner, picking Manic Miner, it's a bit obvious.
Yeah.
So pick something a bit sort of obscure, a bit. Show you're a proper gamer, a retro gamer, and pick something that, you know, your average Joe wouldn't think of. So I think that's how you get a bit of respect over people, is picking some really sort of left field characters and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
What else have we got for villain? We could have The Last Space Invader, you know, the one that moves really quickly.
Yeah.
Sort of the dragon in the game Adventure for the Atari 2600.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to think of the name of the guys from Figar from Dig Dug.
Dig Dug's not my sort of game.
He's
the dragon, right. So, you could have him.
Yep.
You could have the bulbous blue eyes on The Hobbit, if you ever played that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So thinking sort of, I don't like this term, but outside the box a little bit.
Yeah. Could have the entire parser from Wriggles Revenge.
Thinking of characters that people just don't thought, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Do you know what I mean? So things like this, yeah? For bosses, well, everyone knows a game boss, don't they? The Marshmallow Man out of Ghostbusters.
So
I think our definition of game boss should be a character that comes at the end of a level or a character that you have to defeat to win the game. So something like that. Something like...
What would you... Just out of interest, what would you pick? What would you class as a brilliant game boss?
Thinking of what I was saying, thinking something slightly left field, my boss that I've picked, and no one else can have this, by the way, because I'm picking it now, is the Sentinel on the Commodore 64. The game where there's a Sentinel stood in the middle of a landscape, and you've got to defeat him by...
Yes.
You know the game.
I know the game, yeah. You absorb the rocks and the trees.
You absorb the rocks and the trees.
Jeff Crammond, weren't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And that game is... I don't know why they haven't... But they have remade it. But, I mean, if they could remake it for the PS3 or Xbox or whatever...
They did. They did it for the PlayStation, the original PlayStation. They called it Sentinel Returns. And it obviously looked a bit better, but it was rubbish.
Was it really?
It wasn't that good, no.
I do recall it was quite difficult to there was a lot of keys, and if you couldn't just sit down and start playing it. You had to read the instructions, work out what to do, and it took you 3, 4, maybe 5 goes before you even sort of got the gist of it, and then up to 10 goes before you started getting into it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
It would be interesting to see if anybody actually... I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who did finish it, but it had 10,000 levels.
I know. Well, I think I got to level 12 or something like that before I moved on to something else. But it was a brilliant game, and probably still is, you know. But it just I've played it on an emulator, and it's a bit slow. And
yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I could convince anyone who didn't play it back then to play the original version. But the premise of the game was really, really good.
Yeah,
so that's my boss anyway. While we're at it, my villain is the Green Yamo from Bruce Lee.
Excellent choice.
I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because apart from just like screwing up someone else's game, you could be a right git and just get in his way, and you know what I mean.
Yeah,
which was a good laugh. If you pulled the joystick down, he used to do that shout, didn't he? Like brr, or whatever it was. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's something
you
I didn't...
just make him shout by pulling the joystick down over and over again.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, that's okay. My villain. So, let's go through this. I haven't got a hero yet. I've not picked one out.
Okay.
I've got some contenders, but I'll think of one before the end of the show. My villain is Green Yamo. Your villain is...
My villain is the Clockwork Rabbit at the end of level 1... in the arcade game Liquid Kids by Taito.
I might have
picked something I've never heard of. You've got MAME, fire up Liquid Kids, get to the end of the first level and you just see how brilliantly bizarre it is.
Okay, do you reckon you can get an avatar with that on it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
It's just a question of playing to the end of MAME, taking a screenshot and then just shrinking the picture down.
Right, well, this is the thing. If... we can get our wonderful, like, I think it was Darren or Mr. Sid or anyone who's just messing around on the forum and can set a new thread up or get some graphics in there or something. If we could get little icons of the actual characters as well, that'd be really good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Where was I? Anyway, so your villain is the Clockwork Rabbit from...
Liquid Kids. Game
no one's ever heard of. Okay.
It's. I'll tell you what, it's the same guys that did Bubble Bobble, and it's
one of the most
underrated platform games ever made.
I'm messing around because what I'm saying is you've done that. You've done that. What I was saying is thinking outside the box, thinking of a game that not necessarily everyone would have thought of, and that's brilliant. Yeah. So you get 10 kudos points for that.
Fantastic.
and it out of 10 out of 10. So there you
have
go.
Have they got any monetary value?
No, not at all. They're not transferable in any way.
I'm still happy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We should get a little star system.
Yeah.
As well. You know, you get 5 stars for that, whatever that means.
Fantastic.
What is your supporting character, i.e. not a hero, not a villain, not a boss, but a character that's in a game?
My best supporting character in a game?
Mm.
This is tricky, but I'm going to go for, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, I'm going to go for Sasura Hiller, who was the old man who lived in some ruins in The Legend of Zelda on the Super Nintendo.
Okay, not being a Super Nintendo fanboy or anything, I'll have to take your word for that, but if that's your best supporting character...
It's the only one I can think of at the moment.
Well...
So that could change at a future date.
We want to get this sorted today, so pencil that in for now, right?
Right, okay.
And you've got the rest of the podcast to think about it, and right at the end, we'll go through it, okay?
Okay.
So your hero is Technician Ted, your villain
is... In actual fact, I'm going to change that.
Okay.
Best supporting character in any video game ever, the dog from Duck Hunt on the SNES.
Well done, sir. Because I saw that earlier and I thought, I wonder if anyone picks that, and you have. So, well done.
Yeah.
So, you've got... Has that dog got a name?
I've got no idea.
You need to find out.
No idea. But, yes.
If you're claiming that, and that's yours, you need to find out. Because you're going to represent that character on the Retro Asylum forums. Okay. So, let's go for it quickly. Your hero is Technician Ted.
Yep.
Your villain is... Did we get your villain?
No, we had the boss.
Okay, what's your villain?
Good grief.
Okay.
This is a tricky one. I'll tell you what, we'll go back to that.
So, your villain you're not sure about. Your boss is...
The Clockwork Rabbit from Liquid.
Clockwork Rabbit from some game I never heard of. Supporting character is some old bloke in a cave somewhere. Yes?
No, the dog.
Sorry. That
changed
was it.
Well, pay attention.
My supported character is the Pie Man from the Automata games. He used to crop up in various games and that.
Ah.
And he was in Groucho and he was in Pie Mania specifically.
You see, that's very clever, because a lot of people will assume, but because Pie Man was the mascot for Automata, he'd actually be the star of the games, but...
No, he wasn't, was he?
He never was. So
you should just crop up every now and again. And
you can give yourself 5 stars for that as well.
Oh, thanks very much.
An excellent choice.
Thank you. They're not transferable either, are they?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
They're worth as much as my stars.
They're Retro Asylum currency, which is completely, utterly worthless. But, you know, you're a bit cuteless from the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I'm having the Pyro Man as my supporting character. Vehicle. Have you got a vehicle that you're going to represent?
I'm going to go for...
This could be a spaceship, a car, a tank, and anything, a vehicle of some description.
I'm going to go for something that will probably be obvious to a lot of people, but which technically didn't exist. But because it's got such a big place in legend, in myth, gaming mythology, I'm going to go for the trailer from Lunar Jetman.
Ah, yes. Well, it did exist in picture form, didn't it? Because someone faked it. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was never, ever in the game. It was just a very, very well-doctored picture, even though the wheels were slightly...
Yeah, the wheels are crap.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, yeah. That is...
Does that class as a vehicle, though?
Allegedly 4 wheels, although being crap wheels. Although you only saw 2 of them as well.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that, are they? I think it's a good choice. I think because you've literally...
I'm going to claim it anyway, so...
Right, that's yours.
Excellent.
And my vehicle, and this is a bit crap, it's a bit obvious, it's going to be the Cobra Mark III from Elite, because I've just bought Elite on the BBC Micro, the version, because it's going to be the 30-year anniversary next year. Just as a collector's item, really. The original BBC Elite, which... I mean, it is a BBC game, Elite. I mean, it was available in loads of other formats, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, it was, you know...
Let's
face
like
it. Manic Miner. Manic Miner
on the Spectrum, yeah. So, anyway, I've got that, and I was looking at... And the Cobra Mark III, it's quite iconic. You saw it sort of rotating on the title page of Elite. And, Yeah, I'm going to have the Cobra Mark III, so that's my vehicle.
Okie dokie.
I've got a hero to pick, and you've got a, what was it, a villain to pick?
A villain, yeah.
We'll have to come back to that, maybe.
Very, very, very tricky.
Don't worry about it.
I'll have to think about it.
Well, yeah. Well, I narrowed it down. I was going to pick Bruce Lee, but I've picked the Green Yamaha, so that's not worth doing.
Okay. I have actually picked a villain.
Go on then, who is it?
It's a sticking point for a lot of people in probably one of the best text adventures ever made, based on one of the funniest books ever made.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's the bulldozer from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I knew you were going to say Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, which was an absolute nightmare. An absolute nightmare. I mean, it took forever to get out of the bedroom. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was just rubbish at the game. But it took forever to get out of the bedroom. When you got downstairs...
Are you talking about your real life now, or are you talking about the game?
No, not real life.
All right, okay.
No.
So explain a bit about the bulldozer and what that entails.
Reading the novels, watching the TV show, listening to the absolutely fantastic radio show did absolutely nothing to help. I can't even remember how you got past it. But it was just a nightmare. It was full of really, really tricky moments. The Babelfish, which wouldn't really be classed as a villain under any circumstances, if anybody obviously listening knows about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But in the game, it was evil.
Really? I thought you just stuck it in your ear and...
No, there were all sorts of puzzles and problems related to the Babelfish.
Oh, right. Well, we are gonna... at some point have what Avenger game are you going to represent, so you know you should think about that, but we're not doing that at the moment because we're just going to have five for the moment to get people acquainted with the idea.
But
we're going to have 16-bit heroes, villains, bloody blah, we're going to have Avenger games, we can keep this running forever, and eventually every forum user could have a database of every forum user.
Yeah,
and what games, what characters they're going to represent from certain genres and all that. And apart from seeing how well versed they are in retro gaming, you can also see something of their personality, what sort of characters they pick, and what sort of
I
think it'd be quite an interesting sort of thing to do. And let's not mention that I've nicked it off Danny Baker on his show, who does it with albums and stuff, but.
I like Danny Baker.
No, he's
you can almost forgive him for being a Millwall fan. So
yeah, well, my dad was a Millwall fan, so I'm sort of halfway. But my mum was a Palace fan, a rival, so we're the
same. Yeah, well, I know, you did mention, so I bet you were a bit stoked a couple of months back.
I was happy that Palace done well and got in the Premiership, but I'm a Tottenham supporter, right, which will make it even more confusing. And the first game is... Palace, so I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing the first game of the season, but that's football talk. That's not for the Retro Asylum.
Exactly.
I'd guess.
Right, okay. Move on, man. Move on.
My hero, 8-bit hero, for want of a better character to think of, is Rockford from Boulder Dash, I guess.
Yeah.
The only reason being is that I thought it was pretty cool that if you left him standing motionless for a little while, he used to sort of fold his arms and tap his feet, like, to hurry up, and I thought that was the first time I recall character sort of having a little bit of personality, you know.
And he was immortalised in the little...
In the Zap
magazine, weren't he? The little doodle bugs and things as well. So, yeah.
There's a thing on a spring as well, but that was immortalised in Zap as well. But Rockford was the first one I remember. He just sort of just... get bored if you just left him standing there, and I thought that'd be a cool touch. Yeah. So right, so let's officially announce to the forums who the heroes and villains and etc. are that you've picked. No one else can pick these. So my hero, my 8-bit hero is Rockford. My 8-bit villain is the Green Yamo from Bruce Lee. My 8-bit boss is the Sentinel. Yeah?
Right.
8-bit supporting character is the Pyre Man, and my 8-bit vehicle is the Cobra Mark III. Okay, so no one else can have them. That's a fact, and if you do try and take them, you'll be banned from the forums, and I'm going to phone the police. Phone the police, okay? Right, Simon,
Yeah.
Or hero, 8-bit hero was Technician Ted.
It was indeed, yep.
8-bit villain was...
The Bulldozer from Hitchhikers.
Hitchhikers Guide to the Galaxy.
Sounds more stupid every time I say it. Yep. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
You're thinking sideways, it's good. Your 8-bit boss was...
The Clockwork Rabbit from Liquid Kids.
Liquid Kids, game no one's ever heard of.
They'll all be playing it.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to. I will. Best supporting character was the dog from Duck Hunt.
Yep.
And vehicle was...
The trailer from
The trailer Luna from Lunar Jetman, of course.
And, yes, still undecided as to whether that qualifies as a vehicle, but...
No, I'd say it does. I'd say it does. That's pretty cool.
Well, if it doesn't, if we get complaints, then I shall just pick something that's completely anti to the vehicle you've picked. I shall pick a Fargon craft.
To be honest, right, if someone's going to complain about that, then they need to find something else to do with their life, because you can't complain because you picked...
But I wasn't being facetious. I wasn't actually suggesting that anybody would.
For God's sake, no one's going to complain. So there you go. Rant over. Thank you.
Do you feel better after that?
I do. I feel fantastic. I feel elated. Okay, so we've got them. So now we throw it open to the listeners. And this is a first-come, first-served basis. Be prepared to have a knockback. If you've picked, I don't know, Manic Miner as your video game hero and someone else has picked it, you're going to get a message saying, sorry, you can't have that. So think of something that no one else would have thought of.
You know at some point you're going to get a smart ass who says, I'm not picking Miner Willy from Manic Miner, I'm picking him from Jet Set Woody 2.
Same character though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking about characters.
But you know it will happen.
Yeah, but...
I'm going to pick Technician Ted, but from Costa Capers.
No,
any of the others.
The thing is, mate, it's the character. We're talking an 8-bit hero. We're not talking about an 8-bit game, are we?
Yes.
You understand? Okay. So, yes. We want a hero, a villain, a boss, a supporting character, and a vehicle. First come, first served. Email your choices to Foggy, Foggy, at retroasylum.com. Like I say, first come, first serve. So there's going to be tears, there's going to be joy, there's going to be arguments, and there's going to be people thinking, what the bloody hell are they talking about? What character is that? I've never heard of it. I'm going to have to get up. And at the very least, it'll get people to look up new games that they maybe...
But it's all a bit of fun.
It is a bit fun, of course, but...
Yeah.
Like, game that I need to look up? Liquid Kids, exactly. Yeah. Never heard of it, but I'm going to give it a go now. So already it's working. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's that out of the way. That's Foggy, Foggy, at retroasylum.com. We'll do a big announcement on maybe the next podcast or the podcast after. Or I'll just record the results and we can bolt it onto the next podcast, something like that. Anything else you want to talk about, Si? Well, now we've got that out of the way.
I honestly can't think of anything. I was kind of getting into the flow of discussing our favourite little moments and pieces of 8-bit history.
Well, so, I mean,
there's so much more you can choose from as well. I mean, your favourite bit of 8-bit music, your favourite level from an 8-bit game, or, so many little things that you can... Just little touches that you can add.
Well, that's down the road. I mean, like I say, we're just going to get the initial five just to get people... And to see if there's any interest. There might be no interest in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone might think, what are them two silly sods going on about?
I'm sure it won't be the first time, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or people might think, do you know what? That's a brilliant idea. I'm going to get into this. All right, I'm going to have this, isn't it? And do you know what I mean? We can really... it just brings the forum a bit closer together and gets a bit of a discussion going. So I think it's a brilliant idea. And we can do the same with 16-bit. Or you could even do the same with 32-bit, or you could do it specifically for arcade games, or your best trading game, space game, adventure, sport game. I mean, we can make categories up left, right and centre. But it's probably best to do it in blocks of five, I would have thought. Otherwise people would just go a bit crazy, wouldn't they? and not think about it properly.
Yeah. It's. I mean, there is such a thing as overkill. You don't want to, you know, ask too much. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, five at a time. And also, we can do your best Spectrum game, your best Commodore 64 game, your best Sega Mega Drive game, your best Nintendo NES game, whatever.
Yeah.
Like I say, possibilities are pretty endless. So, but anyway, just for one more time, I'll repeat it. Your 8-bit hero, 8-bit villain, 8-bit boss, 8-bit supporting character, and 8-bit vehicle. And you email that to foggy@retroasylum.com, and first come, first served. Do you want to do a guess of the game or something, Si? Okay, guess the game. I've got one. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, off you go.
Okay. What? Is it a platform game?
No.
Is it a football game?
No.
Let's not kick off then. is it 16-bit?
No.
So it's a Commodore 64 title.
Yes.
Yeah.
How could you guess?
I don't know, I'm just intuitive like that.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah, or maybe I've just seen all the crap that you're... Yeah, edit that bit out. right.
There's a lot of Spectrum games in there as well, you know. It could have been a Spectrum.
Don't you still keep them in your drawer, though?
Yeah, it's true. No, they're not in your drawer, they're in boxes now.
Ah, right. Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Commodore 64 game, yes.
Right. Is it in a small case?
Well, what's your definition of small case?
Single cassette.
No.
Double cassette.
No.
So it's a large box?
No.
Is it a loose tape?
No. You missed one kind of packaging out.
Oh, it's a clam case.
It's a clam shell case, yeah.
It's a shell, right, okay. Is it common?
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's a very common game. Is it by Hewson?
No. It's not Power Droid.
That was why I asked if it was common. The minute you said clam case, I thought to myself, if he says it's rare, it's Paradroid.
Well, Paradroid wasn't in the clam case, and it's not particularly common, so wrong and right.
Oh, right. Oh, it wasn't in the clam case.
No.
Oh, my retro knowledge is letting me down again. This is coming from the person who thought that Pit Fighter was released after Mortal Kombat. Anyway.
Well, I thought a good hero is Pitfall Harry. That would have been a good one.
Yeah, very good.
But too late now. Anyway, go on.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But someone else could have that, I suppose. But anyway, we're going off again. So come on, where was we?
Is it by Activision?
No.
So it's not Pitfall 2 then?
No.
You're going to edit all these errors out, aren't you?
No.
Yep. Yeah, but hold on a minute. I don't know. I don't know who it's by. I don't know the genre. Yeah, I don't know the name.
Perhaps you should ask the genre. Is it a fighting game? Is
you
it
haven't given me a chance.
You've got plenty of chance. Come on, I'm one gigantic ear listening to you, waiting for you to say what, you know, some sort of category. Is it by Houston? Right. How specific can you get? Come on.
I could go on. Is it by Gremlin?
No.
Is it by Areola Soft?
No, we're going to be here all day if you carry on like this.
Right, is it a sci-fi based
no.
game? No. So it's is it a fantasy game?
No.
You're not helping.
Well, I am. I'm answering.
Right, is it a shoot 'em up?
No.
Is it actually there? You sure you're not imagining it?
I made it up. It's there. I'm looking at it now. It's a clamshell case, Commodore 64 game. It's quite common. Everyone should know it when a Commodore 64. You're just making yourself look stupid now. I mean, I've
only asked questions. I can't turn around and say to you, "Is it tell you what? Who was the publisher? What year was it released?"
Well, I can only answer yes or no.
Exactly. So I can't ask these questions.
Why don't you go for years? Was it made in 80, well, you know, the Commodore 64 was made in 1982.
So, yeah. It went, was it released in 1982?
No.
83?
No.
84?
No.
85?
Yes.
It was released in 1985. Do you know, you're going to tell me the answer to this, and it's going to turn out something bloody obscure.
No, it's not. It's bloody obvious. That's what it is.
What do you mean, it's obvious?
Well, it will be when you find out what it is. You'd think, my God, how could I not have mentioned that? Or how could I not have asked the questions leading up to the reveal of that game? Come on.
It's a clam case.
It's a clam
case. Released in 1985.
Yeah.
Is it a sports game?
Yes-ish.
Yes-ish.
I'll say half a yes on that.
Half a yes.
What?
You can only answer yes or no.
All right. Then
breaking your own rules.
I'd say yes. I'd say yes.
It is a sports game.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. You understand when I tell you what it is, you'll understand what I'm talking about.
Is it pub games?
No.
Hmm.
That wasn't in a clamshell case, either. I'm sorry I'm getting a bit geeky on you and telling you what boxes some of these games come in. But I do a lot of eBay, and so I know.
Wasn't in pub games, I'm sure it was in a large clam case.
No, it was a double cassette case.
I'm thinking of the disc version. I do apologise.
Perhaps you are. I wasn't posh enough to have a disc version.
Oh dear, oh dear. Now, all the disc games I own were by SSI, so...
Yeah, well, you want to do a bit of a podcast on them one day, because you seem to know a lot about them. And I don't, so... You could educate me a little bit on them.
Good, yeah, there's some good RPGs. Anyway, diverted away from trying to work out what this bloody game is.
That's weird, we never really divert on this podcast, do we? We usually just keep to the point.
We're always very to the point and quite focused on what we're discussing. We never move off into any really...
No, I'll tell you what, did you see that film the other night? It was brilliant. Oh, back to the subject, let's get back to the subject. Right, no, so come on, where are we?
Right, 1985.
Clam case. Sort of sport game.
Sort of a sports game, which doesn't help whatsoever.
No.
Sort of a sports game.
Well, if you mentioned... There's genres of games, and this definitely falls in that one of these categories of game. So, shoot 'em up, no.
There's not a genre that's called sort of a sports game.
No. But there's shoot 'em up.
It's like, you know.
Listen. There's shoot 'em up, yeah, that's a genre. There's platform, that's a genre.
Yeah.
There's driving, that's a genre.
Well, I understand the concept of genres.
Right. Well, you're missing one that's blatantly obvious, that's sort of related to sport.
The sort of related to sport?
Ish, yeah.
Ish?
No, honestly, sorry. You will understand what I'm talking about when I reveal what game it is.
It might be easier for me to just give up and...
No!
Oh, God, okay. Right, 1985, clam case. Almost a sports game. You can't tell me the publisher. Was it Ocean?
No.
Imagine?
No.
My mind has gone blank. Blame the heat.
Was you around in the 80s? Are you 16 years old or something?
Oh,
come on. I'll give you a clue.
You said it wasn't by Activision, so Blazer.
No, let me give you a clue. When I said sort of sport, you haven't said, is it a fighting game? Okay?
So okay.
It's a fighting game.
Way of the Exploding Fist.
Yes. For God's sake.
Which is a fighting game. And a fighting game, right, get this, it's like saying International Karate Plus, Bangkok Knights.
Yeah.
They're not sports games. They're
fighting games. Is karate not a sport, is it not?
So you've been overly pedantic.
Well, no, I wasn't pedantic.
Sports game.
I said yes-ish. I said
summer games too.
I said sort of a sports game. If it was exploding fist football, I would have said it's a sports game, but it's not. It was exploding fist, but it was a fighting game.
Okay, plus karate is a sport. Is that classed as sport?
What they're doing, karate is a sport, is it not?
Hey.
I think I've won that argument. Let's move on.
Well, no, you haven't, because it doesn't sit. If it involves punching and kicking, it's a fighting game.
Yeah.
It's a beat-em-up.
Yeah. Right, well, we'll throw that open to the forum. Who's right and who's wrong? Is Way of the Exploding Fist sort of a fighting game?
Yeah, but sort of a sport is not a genre, is it?
Well, no, you said, is it a... Right, we're just going to let the... We'll have a poll.
It's like saying Eurydium is sort of a platform game because you kind of land on one. When you end the level.
Well, no.
No. Yeah, but that's the same logic.
No, it's not. It's
yes, it is.
Logic. It's the kind of twisted logic.
You mean my twisted logic?
It's the kind of twisted logic who has their villain as a bulldozer. That's what I'm saying.
You want to sit through and... I'll tell you what. If it takes you less than... If it takes you less than... your lifetime...
Don't get all tongue-tied on me now, Simon. Come on, you're on a podcast here. I think... Let's just say...
You were never this belligerent and pushy the last time we did one of these, mate.
I know, I was polite, but now the gloves are off, okay? Bare knuckle all the way.
Bare knuckle. Is that bare knuckle as in sports bare knuckle?
Yeah.
Or fighting bare knuckle?
It's a pit fight all the way now.
Ah, but pit fighting isn't a sport.
Well, arguably it is. What is cage fighting a sport?
No, it isn't cage fighting. Cage fighting isn't a sport. You're going to say wrestling is a sport now. And I'm not talking about Olympic wrestling.
It was on World of Sport.
Talking about America. It was on World of Sport. Yeah, but it
excuse me, what program was it on again? Say that again. World of what? World of what? Sorry.
Of natural fact.
Sport. Thank you. World of Sport it was on. So that by definition, are you going to argue with ITV now?
Yes.
A whole massive corporation and Simon sitting there in Rawns.
I'm not going to argue with a massive corporation. Not at the moment.
Okay.
I have words with Dickie Davis.
Well, if you want to. Is that a metaphor for something? I don't know.
Fighting game, not a sport. Moving on.
Definitely a fighting game. I agree with you. But could it be classed as a sport game as well? Sort of. That's my argument, okay? Let's just say I'm right and move on. You know, let's not fall out over this.
We're not going to fall out, Darren. Okay. Even though you're completely wrong and your view of genres seems to be terminally...
I'm sure people have bothered downloading this are enjoying this, aren't they? Us arguing about whether it's a sports game or not. Sorry, everybody.
If you want to stick around, in the next 10 minutes, Darren's going to drive over here and we should be recording a live fight in the car park just outside my house.
It's just hear Simon crying a lot, isn't it? That's all you hear. picking up his teeth with a broken arm. That's what you hear.
No, it'll be Darren crying a lot. I'm going to show him last season's tables from the Premier League.
Right, moving on. Okay.
So much editing to do.
I know. I keep some of this in it because some of this is pretty good copy. So apart from that then, Si, we've sorted out our hero, villain, boss, supporting character and vehicle.
Yep.
And that's going to be emailed to foggy@retroasylum.com. We've had a little argument about name the game. I've got to quickly tell you about eBay and how much it sort of knows us because of this weather. I sell quite a lot of stuff on eBay, Commodore 64 stuff mainly. And usually, I sort of start my stuff at sort of $4.99 just to give everyone, really quite rare stuff, to give everyone a bit of a chance to bid on it, you know. And because of this weather, I'm suspecting because of the weather, not many people are checking out. It's a buyer's market at the moment because all my stuff sold for pretty much what I put it on at. And that was gutting because there was some quite rare stuff there. Went for a fiver. And being an honourable eBay, I've sent it all off and these people have got a little bargain. So don't do eBay in the summer is my little tip for everybody.
Sound advice, to be honest with you. I've been lumbered with a box full of Amiga stuff. And I think there's some quite rare stuff in there as well. But it's had no interest. Well, you know they did quite a lot of Jack Nicklaus games. Well, it appears that I've got the complete set of the expansion packs, including all the clip art discs and things like that.
Thing is, Si, sports games, as you know, sports games don't sell.
No, well, this is the problem. They are sort of... They don't exist. You can't find them anywhere. But...
They're still sports games that don't sell. I mean, literally, you look on eBay and... Type in PS3 games, yeah, and go by price lowest first. I bet the first 20 will be FIFA, whatever, FIFA 10, FIFA 10. You can't get rid of, you can't give them away.
No. Oh, no, exactly what you mean.
You know, it's full of FIFA games and then maybe golf games. I mean, sports games just lose their value, like, instantly, almost.
Of course they do. I mean, I think you can firmly place the blame on EA for that one. You'll probably have to edit this bit out.
No, I agree with you.
You know, when they release FIFA games every 12 bloody minutes, you know, as soon as they release, I mean, FIFA 13, I'd only been playing FIFA 13 for a few months and they started advertising 14. which is absolutely ridiculous.
With FIFA stuff, I mean, I've just been playing FIFA 12, but I refuse to buy the latest one ever. I just wait until the next couple of years have come out, and then I buy. So FIFA 14 is about to come out. I've just bought FIFA 12 for about £2.
Yeah,
and it's perfectly good, and the teams are sort of up to date anyway.
You can always change them. That simple. You can make up the teams.
Yeah, and now I've played for it, and I've won the Premiership, FA Cup. What is it? The Coca-Cola Cup. What is it called now?
Gee, I can't even bloody remember.
Well, anyway, that cup.
Seriously, my mind. This
heat. The weather. Yeah.
The weather is sort of. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's that. And I've just won the European Cup. And now I'm sort of bored of it now, because I've sort of won everything on professional level, and I beat Real Madrid 4-1 in the European Cup final. Tottenham, can you believe that?
Yeah, only in a game.
Yeah.
Does that happen?
Yeah.
Listen, I won tons of trophies, got Leicester promoted to the Premier League, won it with about 12 points. So
are we going off?
We're going off on
again,
a tangent.
There, Simon?
We are going off on a tangent.
All right, I think we should wrap it up now, Simon. Yeah. It's too hot for all these shenanigans. but I've enjoyed it. It's been good. And we've got our little video game characters sorted out.
Yep.
So I'll say it one more time. Hero, villain, boss, supporting character, and vehicle. Email to foggy@retroasylum.com. And we will read them out in either the next podcast or the one after. Who's got what? And we'll try and sort out some little database of listeners and forum users, well, who have got what character and etc. etc. If you want to contact me on the Retro Asylum forums, I'm Foggy and you're Simon LCFC, correct?
Indeed, yep.
If you want to contact me on Twitter, I'm Retro Darren on there, and you're not on Twitter yet, are you, Si?
I am not on Twitter, I'm not on Facebook, I'm completely hidden from the interweb community.
I don't do Facebook either, but on Twitter, Retro Darren on Twitter. And you should open up a little Twitter account. We all, Retro Asylum, we've got one on Facebook, Twitter, and so has Dean Swain, and so has Andy, and so have a few other forum users, actually. Get involved, son.
I'll have a think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's just a complete ramble. I'm not really that planned, but, you know, we enjoyed it, didn't we, Si? I did, anyway.
It was a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Excellent.
Yeah.
In that case, we'll see you all on the next time me and Simon do one podcast. And.
Yeah, I'm glad you added that word to the, the end of that sentence.
My public speaking isn't what it should be, is it? Do leave sentences hanging like that.
It's very, very nice doing these things ad hoc, but I think some preparation of your sentences might be in order at some stage.
I'm going to have to put some Kenneth Williams at the end of this.
Yeah.
There's plenty of that going on.
I'm sure plenty of the forum users are pretty au fait with innuendo. So.
Yeah. Well, why not?
I don't know, I suppose I better apologise for my incessant giggling over the top of this as well. So,
been fun. It's fine. Yeah. Well, anyway, we hope you've enjoyed it. Si, thanks for joining me. And until we do this again, we bid you goodbye.
Yes. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
When I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was just a little gigolo, I looked up to my bigger bro, begged if I could kick it. So when he went out with girls, I could go tagging along, nagging. If she had a sis, maybe could mag a baby hood rat. Y'all remember way back then when it was 1985, all the way live. I think I was about 10. One of those happy little fools singing the blues that be always trying to bag with the shag and karate shit, saying yo mama black, his mama this, his mama that. Then he get mad and want to scrap. We stay mad about 10 minutes, then it's like back on the
fight. To play hide and go get it with the younger selves by the bungalows. Then switch to playing ding dong ditch when that gets old and too cold to hack it. Threw on a bomber jacket. You can tell the ballers cause they bell wearing gazelles. If they really had money raised, be sporty case. And all the girls had they Turkish link. If it broke, then they made earrings to it like they meant to do it. But sometimes I still sit and reminisce then. Think about the years I was raised. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody
I'm
still back in the days, but now the year is 87, 88. That's when my crew and I were in junior high. In 7th grade, I hated school.
Wish it had grown up.
No doubt I couldn't wait to get out
and be a grown up.
But let me finish this reminiscing and telling about when girls were spelling tight corduroys like footer boys, basket weaves, Nike Cortez and footsie socks, and eating pickles with Tootsie Pops, and it don't stop. I'm glad, cause when JJ Fair did Supersonic, it was kinda like a sport to wear biker shorts or to wear jeans. You could smack if you mack right to hoochies with boys and airbrush donate backside. Dudes had on Nike suits and the boomers with the fat laces, cause it was either that or K-Swiss. I missed those days, so I pout like a grown jerk. Wish it all I had to do now was finish homework. It's true, you don't realize really what you got till it's gone, and I'm not gonna sing another sad song. But sometimes I do sit and reminisce and think about the years I was raised.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid.
And everybody Well, it's a morning. I figure that now I'm all grown up because I'm 18 years old. And guess you can say I'm holding down a steady job and crew steady mobbing. You steady bobbing your head and I'm paid, so I got it made. But didn't always have clout. Used to live in South Central LA. That's where I stayed and figured a way out. I gave it all I had, so for what it's worth, I went from rags to riches, which is a drag. But now I'm first, so...